Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
You are listening to Zed Games, Australia's most beloved gaming radio show, coming to you live from the 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and heard around the nation on the Community Radio Network. My name is Lee, and we have a full house tonight. Everyone is back from their travels. You can already hear Ms. Candy Payne.
Yeah.
Who else is in here? Razor.
Hey, hey.
Jody McGregor.
Hello.
Alana Pierce.
Hi.
Razor, what are we talking about on this episode?
Good question, Lee. First up, we got a review of Costume Quest 2 that Jody is going to be delivering to us.
Yes, I have been dressing up for Halloween a little bit early.
Fantastic. Alana was at the EB Expo last weekend, and she's got some interesting anecdotes, no doubt, to give to us.
Yeah, I guess I'll just talk to you guys about the best games that I played there.
Yep. And what else?
That's it.
Whatever you want.
And that's pretty much it.
That's a full show already.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
But let's kick this episode off with the weekend gaming news headlines. Here is Ms. Candy Payne to deliver them.
Yay, thank you, Razor. Game developer Brianna Wu of studio Giant Space Cat has fled her home after receiving a series of violent threats directed at her on Twitter earlier this week. The threats were made by a person or group with a strong anti-feminist agenda and included death threats to her and her family and the posting of her home address. The Boston-based developer has contacted authorities who are investigating the situation. Wu also said that the financial accounts associated with her studio had also been targeted by hackers.
But wait, there's more.
But can she prove it?
What?
Prove it, damn it. I'm kidding. It's just what everyone's telling her to do. Like, what is wrong with you? Why would she post her own home address on an abusive Twitter account? Come on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not the only story of harassment this week, right, Candy?
No, it's not. Anita Sarkeesian, the creator of web series Feminist Frequency, has cancelled a scheduled presentation at Utah State University in the USA after a threat of violence was issued via email. The emails allegedly claimed that the deadliest school shooting in American history would occur unless the presentation was cancelled. After being informed by the university that licensed gun owners would be able to bring concealed weapons to the venue, Sarkeesian decided not to go ahead with the presentation and also criticised Utah's gun policy. She later said on Twitter, "I'm safe. I will continue my work. I will continue speaking out. The whole game industry must stand up against the harassment of women."
Mm-hmm.
Anita Sarkeesian's pretty damn brave.
Yeah, she's...
I would have quit.
She's a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shouldn't have to be made out of iron to be a woman in the games industry. And yet, this is how things are at the moment.
She's actually quite tame compared to a lot of other people if you actually watch her videos. Like, I disagree with her on some points, but she's not aggressive at all. Like, she's... Before I'd watched them, I was like, she's painted as this evil feminist... And I was like, oh, yeah, this chick's videos are going to suck, but they're completely, like, polite and respectful, even if you don't agree with them.
Yeah,
there's nothing censorious about them at all. Mm. They're criticism, not any kind of attack.
No.
So to react to them as if they're some kind of attack on gaming and gamers,
they take them personally
for
no reason whatsoever. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, they're just benign academia, and yet the responses surely must come mostly from people who don't even watch them and couldn't even begin to have the empathy required to hear the message. Yeah.
Mm.
But it does seem like right now the whole Gamergate thing is in a bit of a death spiral, which, while unfortunate that it's taken an event of this magnitude to happen, is like it is shaking itself to pieces on the internet right now. So keep that up.
Do you think it's coming to an end?
I'm hoping that it's going to become more of a ridiculous fringe thing now, and I'm thinking it might be losing a bit of that momentum.
Seth Rogen told Adam Baldwin to shut up on Twitter today and called him an idiot.
Yeah.
See, that, like, I mean, doesn't seem like a lot, but having someone super mainstream recognize it and dismiss it has got to mean something good.
Yeah, Joss Whedon as well was...
Because he said some bad stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Keep that up, celebrities.
I saw someone talking about, because the whole thing was named by Adam Baldwin, who was the actor who played Jane on Firefly and has done mostly nothing since. Mm. And he is not a great guy. And people were talking about Gamergate being that crappy mining town in Firefly that accidentally started to worship Jane.
the man they call Jane.
That's it, yeah. That's the whole movement, is just that mud-covered town of idiots who drink mud.
I find that so disappointing, though, because it's like he's ruined Firefly for me.
I know, right?
By being such a douche.
Yeah, it turns out that he wasn't acting. He was just a bully who
he
wandered onto the set.
He should stay in his bunk and never come out.
A PC release of Assassin's Creed Rogue will be available in early 2015, according to the latest trailer released by Ubisoft this week. Previously, only PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 versions had been announced, which are scheduled for release on the 11th of November. Rogue will star Shay Patrick Cormac, a former assassin who defects to enemy faction the Templars. A second major Assassin's Creed game, Unity, will launch on the same date for Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
I gotta say, I feel like with a name like Shay Patrick Cormac, they could have had two other games with those other two cool names that they gave this one guy.
Shay, like, when I first heard it, I thought it was going to be a woman, and then I was almost excited for Rogue.
Yeah.
But it's not. No, and also, I played it, and it's exactly the same as 4, but with ice.
Ah, yeah.
And Unity has 4 protagonists, but not one woman.
There's a female lead character, but not playable.
The launch of PS4 exclusive racing game Drive Club has been wrought with serious server issues since its release last week. Players have experienced connection issues and server capacity has been temporarily limited while the problems are fixed. Evolution Studios have been forthcoming about the problems surrounding the launch and have attributed the blame to buggy netcode. A planned free version for PlayStation Plus subscribers has also been postponed in the meantime. The game was originally scheduled for release in November of 2013.
This has been a bit of a mess, hasn't it? Yeah, but yep. Apparently the game isn't even awesome. Like, it was supposed to come out a year ago, just like this Candy said, and we've been waiting. And then in that time, they've kind of said, oh, look, the PS Plus version. It's not going to be the full version, because that's what they hinted at when they originally announced it at E3 a couple of years ago. And now we've been waiting, and it's finally here, and now we've got the dodgiest launch. This one is, like, up there with Battlefield 4 and SimCity as one of the terrible ones. And, you know, the game is apparently... it's not great either, so it's been pretty crap.
I've heard terrible things, but I think a lot of people are comparing it to Forza Horizon and Forza 5, which are, like, franchises technically that have existed for a lot longer, so it almost seems unfair. Mm-hmm. So I think people are enjoying it, but it has some really harsh competition, especially for a new IP. But the server issues are unexcusable. Mm-hmm. They should have had a beta.
I've seen some videos of Forza Horizon 2 and it looks amazing. So
freaking love it.
For these two games to come out at the same time, I mean, it's a bit of a rough thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And then the crew just looks fantastic as well. I think Drive Club just kind of got lost in between all the other awesome-looking ones. Welcome back. You are listening to Zed Games. That was Dream Within Dreams by Ian Paul Livingstone, which is the main menu theme from Valiant Hearts, which is a beautiful game. And today, Jody has a game that also kind of sounds beautiful to tell us about, Costume Quest 2. What's up with that?
It's a game about Halloween, and it is a very cute, very kid-friendly, very pretty-looking game. It has that sort of Tim Burton cartoony aesthetic with fake cobwebs and pumpkins everywhere. It's a game about celebrating Halloween, which is a weird thing to experience as an Australian who didn't grow up with that. But these games have made me appreciate why Americans care so damn much about Halloween, because you play a gang of kids who get set loose for this one night a year in your neighborhood. You're allowed to dress as whatever you want, and you have no adult supervision, and you rule the night. And the only time you see adults is when they are giving you lollies. Huh. Halloween's amazing.
Halloween is my favorite holiday ever.
Has anyone seen the Bob's Burgers episode?
No, I haven't.
There's this Bob's Burgers episode where they go to this island and, like, everyone's just, like, gone crazy and they're egging each other and having the best day ever. It totally reminds me of that.
Oh, love it.
So you play, like, twins and a friend of theirs. You have, like, this gang of three kids who just roam around the suburbs trick-or-treating. But then aliens invade and want to steal all of the candy, and those no jerks. One believes you because it's Halloween. They think you're just seeing people in costumes, so it's up to you to save the day. And so that's what Costume Quest 1 was about, kids in costumes saving Halloween from aliens. And what happened when you encountered the aliens was there were these crazy, like, anime cartoon transformation sequences where your kid dressed in a ratty cardboard robot box outfit would transform into this huge, like, mecha robot that towered over the streets, and then the aliens would turn into these huge, giant, colossus versions of themselves that were much more threatening looking than the cute, cartoony versions you'd seen. And then you just duke it out. Huh. No explanation. It's just suddenly it's a JRPG. It's like Final Fantasy VII or maybe Paper Mario, and you take your turns launching special attacks at each other until your hit points run out or theirs do, and then you're just back to being kids roaming the streets again. Never explained.
That kind of sounds amazing. One thing that I have to ask is, do you get to choose your own costumes? Do you get to dress the kid up yourself, or is it just done?
You gain more and more costumes as you play. So you start out with just a couple of them, but then you've got like 9 or 10 of them by the end of it, and you can switch between them. They all have different attacks and different specializations different specials they can launch. And they also do different things when you're just wandering around exploring as well. They all have some special ability that you can use to solve puzzles with. There might be one you can use to light dark places, so that will let you get into sewers and stuff like that. In Costume Quest 2, there's a ghost costume that you can turn invisible and sneak past, like, security stuff with.
Is it just a sheet?
It's just a sheet with some holes in it. But then in a fight, you transform into this huge, terrifying, giant thing that vomits other ghosts. Out of your mouth and attack these grubbins.
This is amazing.
Bad guys.
This kind of makes me think of South Park, The Stick of Truth. A side-scrolling 2D game?
No, it is not. It's 3D, and it does have a kind of a JRPG look to it, but in a very sort of cutesy, cartoony style. So Costume Quest 1, I enjoyed a lot, but I had to play it in small doses because there isn't a huge amount to it. It's quite repetitive. The fights are very samey, and there's a lot of them. But in between the fights, you get to roam around town. You can go bobbing for apples. There's lots of puzzles to solve and collectibles to find. And the robot, which was my favorite in the first one, had Heelys. It had roller skates built into the shoes. So you could just zoom around town doing sweet jumps and running through the streets. And so I wore the robot costume through the entire game just because it was the fastest. You didn't have to walk anywhere. And obviously the game developers realized that everyone did that, because in Costume Quest 2, every costume has Heelys. You can roller skate no matter which outfit you're wearing, which is...
What are some of the examples of outfits and the special attacks you get from them?
Okay, there's a superhero costume, which is just like a onesie with a blanket cape and underpants on the outside until you transform, and then you look like you're a character straight out of The Incredibles. You can do like a flying uppercut, and then your special attack, you pick up a bus out of nowhere. Even if you're fighting in a swamp, a bus appears, and you just throw it. You just throw a bus at someone. Some of the ones that you can find through like side quests, the more hidden ones, are really, really weird. There's a solar system outfit. It's like a helmet that's yellow. So like your head is the sun, and then there are coat hanger wires sticking off that with just like a bunch of spheres.
Oh, like the foam balls and all the planets.
Just like balls that are like Earth and Mars, and they're spinning around your head.
Somebody in my class went as that when we went trick-or-treating when I was a kid. It was awesome.
Wow,
it was stupid, but it was awesome.
Once again, listeners, you were missing out on Candy's manic dancing arms.
Because Halloween is the greatest day of the year. It's fun.
So then when you get it in a fight as the solar system, you transform into the literal solar system that's just like floating into battle. And your special attack, the camera just pulls out and pulls out and pulls out until you see the Earth, this tiny globe, and a fleet of spaceships appear out of nowhere and laser your enemies from it.
That's amazing.
The first time you watch all of those happen is really awesome. But then you watch it happen over and over again, and it does lose some of its charm.
So, Jody, the original one was, even though it kind of ran a bit long, it still felt very iconic. It felt like almost like a seasonal game. It had been designed to be something that you would want to play every Halloween, because it's the Halloween game. And I did that at least once. I played it again because it was Halloween. How do they address that with the sequel? Because can they make it more iconic for Costume Quest 2? Like, what have they changed here?
Unfortunately, they can't make it as iconic because the suburbs and you got to visit like a mall and the creepy circus on the edge of town and all of these, the sort of places that you would go to as a kid, but that would actually be cool places, like through an 8-year-old's eyes. The second one, they've made the setting more outlandish and video gamey and less Halloween-y. The backstory this time is that there's an evil dentist who wants to destroy Halloween because he hates candy, and he's recruited this army of aliens from the first game to help him.
Huh.
And he destroys Halloween using time travel. So you then have to travel through time to different eras to stop him. You go to the past, which is when, like, your hometown was just a swamp, and you're roaming around the swamp full of gators, and then you go back to the present, and then into this dystopian future where Halloween doesn't exist, and robot teeth march through the streets insisting that you floss. But I didn't find
Don't
that...
Don't laugh at that, Razor. That is not a fun nightmare. Future. That is my nightmare.
It's awful.
Because Halloween is amazing
I'm
and candy's even better.
Hellscape. I don't want that future.
Flossing is important, though.
But yeah. Candy's better. Oh, God.
I didn't like the dystopian future as much, though. It's just like game is about a dystopian future. Yeah. It feels quite generic and like it's getting away from the roots of what made it good. And there's none of the stuff like bobbing for apples that you could do in between trick-or-treating and fighting monsters and hunting for collectibles. So it feels like there's less to it this time. And it's more obvious that the basics of it are actually quite repetitive and the fights are very samey after you've seen the cool animations a couple of times.
So in between those fights, if there's no side questy stuff, what are you usually doing? Do you have like an objective, like get a certain amount of lollies, or is it a little bit more in-depth than that?
You hunt for lollies by sort of bashing the scenery. A bit like in the Lego games, you just run around smacking stuff and lollies appear no matter what you smack. Bin lollies, door lollies. You get certain amounts of those. Sometimes to fulfill side quests or sometimes to go shopping, you can buy power-ups that are like collectible cards, and then you can use those in battle. But a lot of the time, you are trick-or-treating, even though it makes no sense to be trick-or-treating. Like, the story has to go through some real hoops to justify this. When you're in the future, you join Candy Underground, and then you're going from house to house collecting secret shipments of candy, like you're smuggling it. But, you know, you knock on someone's door and they might hand you a box of candy for the underground, or they might be another alien monster and just attack you, which is what happened in the first game. You were trick-or-treating, and sometimes you would get to a house and aliens had already taken over, so you would either get candy or you would get a punch in the face, and then a huge battle would break out. And so that happens here, no matter where you are. There's always an excuse to knock on someone's door and then get attacked, even though it doesn't really make any sense. Mm. And it does get, like, that's the thing that you do over and over again.
So I don't know if it was your intention, but you talking about this has sold me on the first game. But is there anything that the second game actually does openly better?
No, not really. The roller skates on every costume are a nice touch, but you could just use the robot all the time in the first game and have the same effect. And you also got to be a sweet robot. Yeah, it does feel like I recommend the first one pretty wholeheartedly, but the second one is just like the same thing, only not as good. It's not like maybe it looks a bit prettier, but not hugely, and maybe the combat's slightly more refined, but even that doesn't make it more varied. It's a bit easier. Like, some of the attacks use quick time events to launch, and those feel like they're implemented slightly better here because they all work the same way rather than in completely different ways for every attack.
Yeah.
But that just means you're doing the same thing more and more often, which was the problem with the first game.
Is there much enemy variety?
There's like different kinds of aliens. Some of them are crow dudes, and some of them are grubbins, these huge green guys, and then there's various dental-themed robots. But I didn't feel there was enough enemy variety over like the 7 hours it took me to finish it. I felt like I'd fought the same dudes quite a lot.
And I guess the only question I have left is, what's the sound like?
There is some very cool music. It's very spooky. It's very appropriate to what the game is about. It's like a total Danny Elfman kind of Tim Burton movie soundtrack. Yeah, I did like the music. And you, when you travel back to the past, you can find like the French Quarter of New Orleans, and then there's all of this jazz,
which
you can join in. Like the clown costume comes with a horn that you can honk, and you play like horn solos on it, which sound awful but are kind of funny.
Hmm.
That's Costume Quest 2, which is available now for Steam on PC.
Yeah, it's coming out on consoles later, closer to Halloween, but it's getting an early release on the PC, so that's what I played it on.
Great. Thank you very much, Jody. Next up, we're going to be hearing from Alana. She went to EB Expo. We got to play a whole bunch of awesome unreleased games, and we're very anxious to interrogate her ruthlessly about all of them.
You are listening to Zed Games, Australia's most beloved gaming radio show. What were we just listening to before there?
That was an artist called Chipzel with Otis.
Aha. So, Alana, you.
Yes.
That's you.
Yes, hello.
Hi. You were in Sydney not too long ago attending the EEB Expo.
Last week, yes.
And you played all the games that we wanted to play and then we didn't get to play because you were there and we weren't there.
Yeah, suck it, jerks.
You're the worst. I hate you. I hate you.
Thank you.
Ah!
yeah, I did. What do you guys want to hear about?
All the games.
All of them?
Yeah, all of them.
Well, I mean, let's start with the easy ones. Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same as all the other Mortal Kombats, so that's that done.
Good.
I mean, it was fun.
Sold. Sold.
It was fun and really brutal and looked really pretty, but that's all I have to say on that.
How can it be brutal and pretty at the same time?
You played the last
brutal
one.
Brutal can be pretty.
Yeah.
It was, can be shiny.
It was glorious is a word I'd use.
Yeah.
It wasn't very pretty. It was like
you know, the environments are totally pretty. Like there was like pretty water and
the environment.
Nice lens flare and you know nice little costumes they got.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Blood fountains can be pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're psychotic.
That. Yeah, which I totally am, so it's fine.
Moving on.
Moving on. What else would you like to hear about?
I want to hear about the Order 1886 because, like, Victorian-era monster hunting, that's a cool idea for a game.
So that was my game of show. That was the best one that I played. What do you guys think that game plays like?
Survival horror?
Gears of War?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
See, I did not expect that. I was, like, expecting it to be, I guess... I was expecting something kind of like Dishonored, but it is Gears of War. And they're like, the Sony press guy was like, you know, it's kind of like Uncharted, you know, kind of like that kind of thing. And I was like, you're trying really hard not to say Gears of War, aren't you? So it's like that same kind of alleyway kind of cover-based system where, you know, there's a lot of corridors. And
people have kicked over a lot of desks recently.
A lot of desks being kicked over.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it plays exactly like that, but with its own... really distinct art style. One thing that's very obvious is that everything is weirdly whitewashed.
Yeah.
Like that just annoyed me. I don't know why. It's like everything just has this white haze, just kind of coated in this white haze. But beside that, all of the weapons themselves, like they feel like they belong in that Victorian kind of era where they're not exactly precise and some things take a long time and the aiming isn't perfect, but they're still fun to use and still really creative. One of them was like you fire like a bunch of pellets that just sort of go everywhere. Not like a shotgun, much less accurate or even less devastating. And then you fire like a kind of rocket thing and it just explodes everything. So it's like the pellets you're shooting are like some kind of gas that makes the explosion even bigger.
Yay.
So then you shoot a rocket and keep doing it. That was heaps of fun, but like easy to miss, which I kind of really appreciated it. Like everything kind of felt clunky. But it also was really obvious that there's the technology there which makes it, you know, steampunky.
That's actually a thing that I was going to ask because all of the press for this game, the developers are really, really nervous about saying that it's a steampunk game. When it's a steampunk game.
It's a steampunk game.
You've got like Zeppelins and machine guns in the
Victorian era.
But they go out of their way and they're like, no, it's not steampunk. It is pseudo future mechanical sci-fi.
Don't make up words when they've already invented one and it is steampunk.
It is. Yeah. But it's also half-half. Like, it is really Victorian crossed with steampunk. It's not just steampunk. Like, it is totally split in the middle there.
Right.
I guess another thing with it in the parts that I played was that it takes itself extremely seriously.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, like even more seriously than Gears of War, I would say, where the characters were all bro-y and really straight face and like, we need to save everything. But one thing that I'm particularly looking forward to in it that I didn't get to play, and while I did enjoy everything I did play, is the survival horror stuff, because there is like this kind of werewolf thing that appeared in one of the trailers, or I don't know what it was, but it was like some kind of monster that's trying to hunt you down and kill you, and you have to hide and do evadey stuff, whereas what I was doing was like full-on attack that just felt like the game was built for like two-player or four-player co-op kind of thing. Super fun, though.
That's interesting, because I did get a lot of the whole like hiding and thing from the trailer and stuff.
I don't think
as
it's
well.
Consistently like that, so I guess Gears of War isn't either, though. It is totally Gears of War, but I think it's... In saying that, a lot of games have tried to copy that Gears of War cover system, and this is probably the only one I've played that has done it really, really well and not like blatantly copied it. It's very similar, but still has its own unique style and is really equally as enjoyable. Hmm.
Did you see any of Dragon Age Inquisition down there at all?
It wasn't playable.
Dang.
Unfortunately, no. Nah. Will be playable at PAX, though, or
cool.
just before it.
Was there a game that stole the show, much like... Titanfall did last year?
I would say for most people that would have been Evolve. I didn't play it because I played it at Gamescom, but I guess we can touch on that again, is that Evolve is like a 4v1 where there's one person who plays as a giant monster type thing. When I played it at Gamescom, we were against the Kraken, which is kind of like a mage and just like shoots lots of crap at you. And then the four have to be really, really tactical, work together. There's one that's a trapper, which is who I played as, so you have to trap the monster in. And there's a medic, which is like ridiculously important in this because the monster can kill you in like two hits. So there's a lot of like communication that goes on here and weapons that are really, really catered to complementing whatever kind of tactics your team decides to actually use, because you're not going to defeat the monster unless you know what you're doing. And I think that game, a lot of people seemed really, really hyped about it because it is so much damn fun. Far Cry 4 as well, a lot of people seemed to really enjoy.
Did you get your hands on that?
I did, and to me it was exactly the same as Far Cry 3 but with elephants.
Good.
So, the elephants were great, don't get me wrong. So it looked really similar. Obviously it's set in the Himalayas now, so it was nice and snowy and a little bit more lush, and everything looks really pretty and peaceful. But yeah, you just like walk up to an elephant at this water hole and just like jump on it like a vehicle and then control it like a vehicle, and it's just immediately tamed. I was like, wow, this is convenient.
Well, yeah.
And then, yay.
No, elephants are like that, though. You just have to go up to them and press either the E key or Y.
Or X.
Yeah, and you use it and away you go.
It's just a car, really.
Yeah.
See, I would have preferred a bit of like maybe real life interaction with it, where chances are the one you've jumped on is a dud and it's not going to let you just ride it around for free.
I kind of expected a QTE. I was expecting when I got on it to have to tame it in a second or something. But it's like, no, okay, let's walk into this wall if you want then, okay.
Presumably the elephant has been in this situation before and is used to you doing this.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of elephants around. Like, the chances of you getting the same one is...
Well, they are a very social animal. They communicate to one another. So,
yeah,
like,
they're
the
like,
first
okay, this guy's all right.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, look,
he presses that X on you,
just
you obey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so what I did in that was like the same kind of outposts that are in Far Cry 3 where... There's just people everywhere and there's alarms for you to take down. And if you don't take the alarms out, they keep bringing reinforcements in. I decided to just trudge in on my elephant, break down the door, and then just get shot at from every single angle and nearly die.
Can the elephant get shot?
Yes, and the elephant kills people.
Huh.
So it can get shot, but it can also kill people, and it's the most satisfying thing ever.
So I don't understand why anyone would ever try to play the game without an elephant.
Because stealth?
Elephant. Elephant.
You make a good point. Excellent argument.
Stealth every time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was really fun to be on that elephant with the double barrel shotgun.
Yeah.
Just like aiming while this elephant's just like walking around and like killing people with its tusks and blood going everywhere.
Okay.
It was very cool.
Okay. I'm buying it.
Yeah. But very hard.
Is there a way to strap guns onto the elephant's trunk?
I don't believe so. It's not Dead Rising. But maybe we can pitch that to them.
Yes.
It's super awesome Dead Rising
DLC. There's still time. Yes. Ubisoft, if you're listening in, as I know you are, maybe some DLC. Strap a gun under the elephant's trunk.
A turret of some kind?
I don't know why, but as soon as you said that, I just immediately got this like visual of a John McClane elephant like with a little white singlet and gun strapped to his tusks or something.
Yeah, okay.
Best DLC ever.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Put a singlet on the elephant.
Die hard elephant.
Yeah.
Here we come.
Yeah. Have him complain about walking through the glass with his giant elephant feet. Yes.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Mother Trunker.
But yeah, as soon as
I'm
got
out.
Off the elephant.
That was too awful.
Mother Tusker.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I like that one.
Oh, no.
High
what
five.
Have you done?
All right.
Okay. Yeah, but as soon as I jumped off the elephant...
You missed me.
Because it was way too hard. Because everyone just shoots at you. You're a really obvious target if you're on a goddamn elephant. And then I hid. The elephant will just continue attacking people. Even if they're all attacking you, it just runs around, yeah, just throwing people to the ground and killing them in, like, one hit. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, buddy, you
yeah,
go.
Good boy.
Yeah.
Nice
boy. But aside from that, everything's pretty much the exact same as the other one.
I told him to do that.
It's weird that he's just immediately your ally, but, you know, not complaining. He's great. I like the elephant.
Yeah.
All right. Alana is telling us all about the awesome game she played at EB Expo. What can we expect to hear from you after we come back from this track, Alana?
I'd really
just a little
like
teaser.
To talk about Until Dawn.
Until Dawn. Mm. Cool. You're listening to 102.1 FM Triple Z, and this is the Z Game Show. My name is Razor. I am joined by Candy, Jody, Lee and Alana, who is telling us all about her adventures at EB Expo and the unreleased games that she played. Now, Alana, you were telling us that you were going to talk about...
Until Dawn?
Yes, Until
Dawn.
Has
anyone heard of it?
No.
No?
No?
Sounds scary, though.
I hadn't either.
Yeah.
So I was like, what the hell is this game? And it turns out that it was originally supposed to be a PlayStation Move game, but, you know, that kind of didn't work out. So instead, it's now going to be a PS4 game that still uses the motion controls using your controller, which I think is the biggest problem with the game. But to give you a synopsis, it is a teenage horror slasher film mixed with Saw, but in a game.
Awesome.
I think it's really cool. So you start off in the demo and it kind of gave me a briefing that it seemed like you and a bunch of teenagers went to this house and you get to play a various amount of them. And, you know, some people are in couples and some girl likes some guy, blah, blah, blah. There's some kind of party. And so they're at this giant mansion for someone's birthday.
She'll die first, because in horror films,
I think she
happens.
May have. I'm not sure. I think she did.
Was she promiscuous? Because if she was, that was
that,
it.
That means
she
dead.
Was she wearing a white nighty, and did she go upstairs?
Yeah.
Probably, because I'm pretty sure the whole thing is meant to be a giant cliche. Right.
Awesome.
So, yeah, there's a killer there. I assume that you're just, like, out in the woods somewhere. I don't know.
One of those woods mansions.
Yeah, one of those, you know, those woods mansions. And the killer is, like, a guy with a clown face, and he's, like, real big and burly, and he has, like, this creepy voice that's, like, kind of distorted, but...
Do it. Do the voice.
I don't know if I can.
Do a close approximation of the voice.
I don't think I can.
For the listeners.
I don't want to ruin it
for
them,
the
though,
fans.
By, like, not being able to do
this. I don't
want
to hear it.
Do a funny voice to scare Jody anyway.
I was unsold at clown face.
Yeah, well, creepy one as well.
What about if I try?
All right.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, God.
It's like that, but more distorted.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Now you sound like a robot.
Yeah, you just...
All right, I'll stop crying.
Now do it like a lizard. Like a lizard was after.
Nailed it.
Movie.
Nailed it. That's exactly it. It's not what he said.
Razor just scared himself. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah, so this dude is in the house. I assume killing you off one by one just for funsies. And the part that I played as, it plays a lot like Heavy Rain, if anyone has ever played that.
No.
So it's like, I know. So it's like the camera
hey,
is...
Hey, I like that game.
Get out.
Yeah,
you guys suck.
The controls, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like the camera is fixed wherever you are, and then you kind of move around the environment, though everything is steady. So you're moving around these hallways, and in a horror game, that's kind of terrifying because every single corner is scary because you can't hug walls like I would normally do in any horror game ever. So you just have to walk up to a door and not know what's behind or around a corner sometimes. You just have to go and do it.
So like classic Resident Evil or Alone in the Dark.
Yeah, yeah. And if you pick certain things up, you can move them around or flip them around by moving the controller. You also control your flashlight with the controller, with the movement rather than the actual sticks, which I think is really annoying, but I don't think it's enough of a hindrance to make me not like the theme of the game, because this is the only game I can think of that actually tries to be that cheesy teenage horror movie in
that's
a game.
Cool.
Yeah. And then the demo that I played, there's some creepy stuff that comes out, so there is obviously some kind of ghosty stuff in the house, but it gets to this point where you're just walking around and a door unlocks, so you walk through it and you find the killer. And there's a QTE, you hit him over the head, and even if you hit him over the head, he just gets back up and then hits you over the head. And you get knocked out, and you're with
Does
one
other
person.
Does he have a QTE to hit you over the head?
No.
Ah.
So it's. I liked that, though, because I was like, oh, I've won, I can run now, but it was like, nah, he's going to get you anyway, which I found kind of cool. So then you just wake up strapped to this chair, and there's a camcorder in front of you, and you and one other person, who I assume you're friends with, you're both strapped to the chair. There's a gun in the middle of you and a saw on the ceiling, and the saw is, like, coming down slowly, and the two characters are just talking to each other, and then you get told that you have to shoot one of them, so you have to kill one of the characters, or the saw will kill both of you. So I shot the chick because she was really annoying. She was like typical horror movie chick that's like, yeah, oh my God.
See? First
and you
go.
Didn't even hesitate, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't. No, I was
you,
like,
you take pleasure in that.
Screw this bitch.
You didn't even know that you had a choice.
No, I just, there's a gun, yeah. Finally. Yeah, she was like really just, you know, just, yeah, typical blonde, cryy teenage girl in a horror film. So I shot her. And that's basically when it ended. But I spoke to other people who'd played it who let the saw just fall. So if you don't shoot either of them, the saw just comes down and then you have to start over, or you can shoot the guy, I assume. So I feel like there's going to be a lot of those kind of choices in the game. And
amateur hour, shoot the saw.
I
should have given it a try. Yeah. Damn. I just can't think of any other game that I played that has that kind of over-the-top saw feel to it. There are games that are scary and there are games that are horror games that aren't necessarily scary but still have gory themes. Whereas this one is just like a whole other level where it just feels like a movie but interactive, and I really, really like that. I also like the fact that there's choices, meaning every time that you play it, you could kill different people might die.
I want this game to tally people's reactions.
Oh, yeah.
This would be amazing. Imagine that.
It's messed up.
Yeah.
My initial thought was like, whoever developed this needs help. Why would you make this? But, I mean, it was still, still suitably creepy, some jump scares, and mostly just weirdly fun to be able to participate and have, like, some kind of god hand in every horror movie that you get annoyed watching because everyone's so dumb.
Oh, this is great. Mm. I would not go upstairs, for starters. Like,
never.
Hello?
Never go anywhere alone, idiots.
Well, where
or have feelings for anyone. Or be a woman.
Yeah, or wear a white dress.
Or be attractive. Just none of those things, then you're fine.
No, because the homely guy also gets it, like, three quarters of the way through. Like, Jack Black and I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Well, preferably also just wear shoes before you go for a walk in the woods, because at some stage you're going to have to walk over glass or something. It's just a given.
Buddy system. Yeah. Everyone hold hands with everyone else.
Exactly. Yeah. So I kind of liked that I could have an input in that, an input on teenage idiocy. And they are really, really typical characters. Even the bad guy just feels like a horror movie bad guy. It was so basic, and I just loved being able to participate in that. It was really, really cool. I think that the controls are going to put a lot of people off because of the way that the camera is fixated and having to move the controller around to make things work.
Did that affect the outcome in any way? Like, because you couldn't see what was around the corner, are there some parts that you found difficult to get past because there was somebody right there and you couldn't brace yourself for it or be prepared or anything like that?
No, really? I don't think that the jump scares would be any different to you opening a door in a game and having something there.
Yeah.
It was kind of the same, but, like, it's just that, especially with moving the torch around, it's inaccurate. So while I think that I could still play the whole thing comfortably, it's going to annoy a lot of people because it's not perfect and we're used to games just doing exactly what we want them to, whereas the motion controls can't really do that. So I think it's still perfectly playable and not necessarily a huge flaw, but something that is just kind of mildly off-putting, same as Heavy Rain wandering around and like hitting things sometimes. Yeah, but it stood out to me as something that I'd never heard of before in a video game. It's just so different and really, really cool, and no one else has apparently heard of it either.
I already love it.
Yeah, it's going to be great when it comes out.
Show of hands in here who's playing it. Probably not Razor. He's not arguing it.
What?
Kind of shrugged.
Yeah.
That was a shrug.
I'm just not interested. I'm not scared.
You know, you realize what
That's what they all say.
Because now this means that he's the one who's going to be the killer because you drove him to it. That's great. Mm. Thanks, Candy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if one of the ones who, like, pretends to die ends up being the killer.
Yeah.
Like,
Scream. I'm fast and I wear sensible shoes. Good luck.
shoes. Nailed it. We don't stand a chance.
Okay, we've probably got time for one more game.
I guess I could talk about Assassin's Creed Rogue.
Oh, yes.
So that is the...
That's the one that's coming out for PS3 and Xbox 360, right?
Yes. And it is
NPC.
Literally exactly the same as Assassin's Creed 4.
Mm.
Is that a good thing? Is it like the good bits of Assassin's Creed 4?
Yeah.
Are there sea shanties?
It is the good bits.
Are there sea shanties?
Yes.
Are sea shanties.
Yes.
All right.
But it doesn't look... Sold. It doesn't look as pretty, obviously. And it's also just... I mean, it's just so bizarre that they didn't change anything in the ship combat. So what I played was just you fighting other ships, and then when you overtake the ship, you do the exact same things as in 4, and then you get the exact same 3 rewards, which was, like, repair your ship, lower fleet. Wanted level, add to your fleet. Yeah. Those three things. That's it. Nothing changed at all. The only difference is that there's ice everywhere, so you have to like get something on your ship that like can carve through ice. But that became really annoying in that every single time you did it, they were like, oh, it's really carving through the ice there. Like, they narrated it every time you went through ice, like the people on your ship. God. It's like, okay, yeah, I see that that's happening. You don't need to be like, well, this is different, see?
Did anyone ever yell iceberg dead ahead?
I think they may have, yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. So it was like they really milked the ice thing. They're like, it's totally different. But of what I played, you had to get out of your ship and then find some chest on the top of some weird climby stuff. Mm. And, I mean, that all felt basically exactly the same. But if you fall in the water, like a frost kind of comes over the screen and you'll eventually take damage. So you can't just swim wherever you want now, which makes me like it even less because that was something I really liked doing in Assassin's Creed 4, which is like swimming around. Apparently you freeze to death now.
So this is just Assassin's Creed on ice.
Yes. That would be way more fun. Yeah. No. It's just like an expansion for Assassin's Creed 4.
Well, it's just filler, right? This is just their...
It is.
This is their Arkham City, whatever that was. Arkham Origins. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. And, I mean... It's not that I didn't like 4, because I actually really enjoyed all the ship stuff in 4. It's just that it's just so bizarrely similar that I don't know why anyone would spend their money on it. It's supposed to be the end of the trilogy, but I didn't even know there was. So apparently 3 and 4 and this one is a trilogy.
But they already had a third game. They had Liberation.
Well, it didn't count. Okay. There was a woman in that. It doesn't count.
Who starts a trilogy at number 3? You know what I'm saying?
Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Because Assassin's Creed was originally only scripted to be a trilogy. Yeah. It was only meant to be 1, 2, and 3, and then they had 2.25, and then 2.5, and then they were like, let's put some DLC on that as well. Can you imagine how good it would have been if it was just 3 games? Yeah. If they had stuck to that and like had that one epic plot?
Ezio, what?
Yeah, because he would have been in one of them.
He only would have been in one, which, and I kind of love the journey of seeing Ezio grow old, but... Yeah. Yeah, so this is supposed to be like the end of the Kenway franchise. And
well, good.
Mm. I liked Tatham. Yeah. He was a cool guy.
Yeah, he was all right, but...
Connor was a dick.
Yeah. Look, he was no Ezio.
You can never
beat
Ezio.
That's all I have to say.
But, overall, pretty disappointing. Unity wasn't playable, but I did get to play that at Gamescom as well, and... It's just hard not to say that they all feel the same, really, at this point.
Even the addition of a crouch button doesn't change it?
I did actually a little. Maybe I used the crouch button a bit, and we were playing on Xbox controllers, and you can now press B to go down. So, like, instead of having to use the stick to go up and down, you press B to go down, which just made climbing so much easier in a way that I would not have thought of. It was like, so I just want to go down here, and they just drop to whatever is the next, like, lowest thing. Oh, that was great.
That's good.
And obviously there's all of the gear that you can get, like jackets and hoods and pants and whatever that will change your stats.
So they've added the ability to wear different hats now.
And pay for them, microtransactions.
Video games.
Pay for them?
Pay for them.
I shan't be paying. Yes.
Someone's already purchased enough hats over their video game career.
Yeah, look, I'm a bit... I feel a bit sad about the Assassin's Creed series because I really loved Assassin's Creed 2 and, you know, the...
fantastic game.
The two other spin-offs.
And the ending, ugh.
Oh, I'm just so lukewarm towards the series now. Even though there's 2 coming out just in time for Christmas, I'm like, whatever.
It's going to be the worst week of my life, is all I keep thinking. Having to play those 2 games in a small amount of time.
Actually, you know what? I hope that is the worst week of your life, because that's pretty good.
It's going to be awful.
That's me wishing you a really eventful, pleasant life. I hope the worst thing that ever happened is you have to play 2 new Assassin's Creed video games, Alana.
It is going
to
be really bad. It is. I'm, like, really not looking forward to it.
All right, that's some... awesome privilege, right?
Yeah. I feel for you, Alana, I really do.
Thank you. No problem.
That's going to bring us to the end of this week's episode of Zed Games, guys. If you want more info on the show, we are online at Facebook and Twitter, Zed Games AU being our handle. Next week, we have an awesome special guest, someone coming in from Half Brick Studios to tell us all about a new game that's coming out this week.